September is Healthy Aging Month, a time to highlight the importance of staying active, healthy, and engaged as we age. It's also an opportunity to address misconceptions, share resources, and encourage community support for older adults. Today, Dr. Mabry and I will discuss the importance of promoting health and wellness for older adults in our community. We're here to help our listeners better understand healthy aging strategies, common challenges they may face, and ways we can all contribute to healthier lives as we all grow older. So we're going to start with background. So Dr. Mabry, can you start by sharing a bit about your background as a nurse practitioner and your role in supporting healthy aging?
Sure. I have been a nurse practitioner for 25 years now, and basically I have been doing primary care. Before that, I was a nurse at the hospital at the bedside with chronic illnesses, so older adults. Mm-hmm. As a nurse practitioner, I worked in internal medicine, mm-hmm. and for many years locally, and that is all about chronic illness with older adults. I didn't see any pediatrics. I didn't treat any mothers or babies, but all adults. And mm-hmm. most of them were older and had multiple illnesses going on at the same time. For yep. instance, they'd have hypertension and the thyroid, and then I might be diabetic too. So supporting that healthy aging was part of that primary care with prevention. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little later. So Dr. Lee, how about you? Tell me about your background as a nurse practitioner and how we strive, because we both teach at Tennessee Tech. Mm-hmm. How do we educate our FMPs at the Whitson Hester School of Nursing to support older adults in their practice?
Yeah. So I've been a family nurse practitioner since 2006, working like you, mostly in family practice, primary care, caring for patients across the lifespan. Since 2009, I've been teaching at Tennessee Tech's Whitson Hester School of Nursing alongside Dr. Mabry, where I coordinate the FMP program there. And Dr. Mabry and I both teach in the Family Nurse Practitioner program, and we co-developed the entire FMP curriculum. And one of the courses that we developed and we teach has a strong focus on the older adult population. And because it's so important for our students to understand this specific age group and how to provide the best possible care for people as they age, because that is part of our lifespan.
That is true, because, you know, you talked about us co-creating the curriculum for our students, which have a successful pass rate on their certification exams mm-hmm. here locally. And we've been doing that, what?
2019.
Is that when we took the mm-hmm. back from Tennessee campus? We had mm-hmm. our own program. Okay, so going on 6 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We must really like each other.
Yeah.
Okay. But so the difference is, you know, we have three different courses, and one course talks about acute illnesses, so younger adults, mm-hmm. And that has to do, you know, for the listeners to understand that. So as you're younger, we're looking at prevention as far as vaccinations, mm-hmm. as far as immunizations. Making sure that you're eating correctly, that you are preventing any illness. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of switch gears when we go to the next mm-hmm. course, which is chronic illness.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of hits me hard because we tell them that those are patients that are over 50, and I'm now 55, so I am now in that older
no.
population. But that's the next group of people that, and now we're really prevention.
Yeah.
That's our heavy focus. And, okay, so now you have hypertension. What are we going to do to support mm-hmm. you to make that quality of life as you get older?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we're younger, you know, we're worried about educating, preventing, promoting health. And you still worry about those things and concerned about those things as we age. But you also have to treat the disease while also, you know, trying to prevent sequela, from what's going on already. So it all comes hand in hand. You know, and the other thing that besides young adults and older adults, you know, we focus on women and children. So we get everyone, you know, across the lifespan from birth to death. So that's the family encompasses everyone, every part of the family.
And my favorite is the older adult.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know.
And Dr. Lee's favorite is she likes the younger adult and she likes Women's health.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have their favorite.
Yeah. Well, we hope people have their favorite, you know. So why is Healthy Aging Month an important observance for communities like ours? So we're talking about the Upper Cumberland.
Yeah.
Why is this something we felt like we needed to highlight?
So Healthy Aging Month, which is September, is important for communities like ours because we have a growing older adult population. And it's vital that we promote ways for older adults to stay active, to stay engaged and healthy, as, you know, people, as we get older. So if we highlight healthy aging, we can encourage our listeners with preventive care, hopefully reduce chronic disease risk. We talked about that a minute ago, but hopefully, you know, reduce those risks and then support families and communities in creating environments where older adults can thrive. And also we want them to maintain independence too as we age.
And that's as I get older, and I know listeners that are listening who are older than myself, that is probably the biggest goal I have, is to age gracefully, mm-hmm. and to age with all my parts intact, is kind of how I tell people.
Yep.
I want to, there's three components, you know, as a nurse that we think of: your physical, your mental, and your spiritual, mm-hmm. Being. So let's talk about physical health first. So mm-hmm. what's important for older adults that wouldn't be so much for younger adults? So the difference is, if I want an older adult to be healthy, mm-hmm. what kind of physical activity, what kind of physical yeah. guidelines do I give?
Well, I think one of the main things that we want to consider is that we maintain activity.
Okay.
So, you know, we want to avoid the sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's going to look different for different people and their physical abilities, obviously. But, you know, we know what the goals are, that we get 30 minutes of activity. Now, activity can look different for someone who's 20 years old who runs marathons than activity looks for a 60-year-old. A 60-year-old, it may be that they are doing Tai Chi. They're doing, water aerobics,
yeah.
walking.
Ooh, water aerobics is great.
You know, walking. You think of some of those lower impact mm-hmm. activities like water aerobics, even, you know, you can do a stationary bicycle or a bicycle outside. That's going to be, you know, low impact on your hip and knee and ankle joints. So it doesn't really, I don't think, matter necessarily what activity it is, as long as they enjoy it. It's something that they can do 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and they can break it up. But I think being physically active and maintaining that mobility is key.
And I know that we did a segment a while back with the physical therapists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important component as we get older, along with being active, the safety aspect of
yeah.
it. And I know that those two gentlemen were great mm-hmm. at giving, you know, ideas about, you can come see us for balance.
Right.
Because, you know, that's something as I get older, I can tell that my balance and my center of gravity is very different than mm-hmm. it was even 15 years ago when I was 40.
Yep.
I have to be more careful with items. So
A good handrail.
I do appreciate a good handrail or somebody just offering their arm,
yep.
you know. And then, you know, I think even older than that, I think of my mother and I think mm-hmm. of your parents too.
Mm-hmm.
My mother needs a 1-point cane and mm-hmm. just for security, for safety. But we still encourage her to walk, you know,
yes.
still encouraging her to get up out of a chair. And that's one way we measure
mm-hmm.
Older adults, too,
yep.
That come into an office. So if you're a listener and your provider says, hey, I want to watch you get yourself up out of this chair, that's actually a test that we perform to see how well your core strength is, your balance,
yep.
and can you move
yep.
your hip joints, knee joints, and your ankle joints? So
mm-hmm.
We're not being crazy
right.
when we ask you to do that, but that actually is a test that is on a Medicare sheet for us.
Yep.
It's called the get up and go
yep.
test.
Yep.
And so, you know, all those things physical tie into that. Low impact
mm-hmm.
exercise, like Dr. Lee said, maintain your balance,
mm-hmm.
which Tai Chi is great for that, yoga,
mm-hmm.
strength training.
Yep.
What about mental health? You talked about engaging older adults.
Isolation is a big thing.
Oh, isn't it though?
Mm-hmm. With older adults, and depression goes along with that.
Yes.
And so I think those are probably two very prevalent conditions that we see with older adults. And so trying to prevent that isolation, and as we go on today, we'll talk about lots of resources in our community to overcome these challenges that we face as we get older. But I think isolation and depression, what do you think?
Is there others? Absolutely. Just with the geography where we live, people living on farms, our farm, our nearest neighbor is 2 miles down the road.
Yeah.
So it's not, it has to do with our geography.
Yep.
Where we live, transportation, as people get older, they're not getting out and driving as much. They're not going to a job, maybe. That would be their social.
Yep.
Absolutely. I totally 100% agree with that isolation causes that mental stimulation is not there, because sitting and watching a TV program is not helpful to older adults. We need interaction.
Yeah.
Humans need interaction.
Yes, absolutely.
Talk to other people. And assisted living, that's really where that comes in. I feel like those assisted living homes, not just for people that, I mean, maybe they can cook and do everything for themselves, but just that social interaction. I have seen a huge difference in my own mother with her mood and lack of depression just being stimulated in that environment. So the last one is spiritual. We based a little off that, and I think that has to do with communication as well. Any thoughts on that third aspect?
Yeah, I mean, you want them to maintain their, you know, whatever their spiritual life may be. And there's ways to do that as well. And so we'll talk about some resources, and a lot of local churches and communities, you know, have that for patients.
So we're back talking this segment about healthy aging. September is Healthy Aging Month. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of giving some insights, and we're going to talk about some myths in this next segment and truths that people believe as they get older that are not true or could be true. But I'm going to let Dr. Lee go ahead and start with that.
Yeah. So let's first, what are some of the most important lifestyle habits that you think support healthy aging? We've talked a little bit about physical activity. What do you think are some of the most important lifestyle habits?
Well, research has actually shown as people get older, maintaining relationships. And it may not be with your, family. You may not have a good relationship with your family, but you need to have a close-knit group of people that you can call, that you support you, maybe have the same habits, likes that you do, but just being socially engaged as you get older with some group of people and not becoming isolated, as we talked about before. Some people get isolated just through illness. And so you need to find a circle of friends or family, if that's close to you, a cousin, somebody, a neighbor. It doesn't have to be a blood relative, but just maintaining that social aspect, I think, is the most important lifestyle habit that you can have. And then that leads into communicating with somebody, engaging, and then maybe using your brain. Reading is another good, doing Sudoku puzzles, doing these, staying off your devices. Even older people now are having trouble. We talk about the younger generation growing up with technology, but I see more and more older people also sitting with their phones, playing games, looking at Facebook. That's detrimental to our health, anybody's age.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think you have to be maintain that brain activity too. Those quizzes, puzzling, any kind of those activities. Maybe you quilt or do other activities, but be, using your hands and engaging your brain, I think, is very important too. And I think too, the independence piece that we talked about, because obviously everyone wants to maintain their independence.
Yes.
So I think that's one of our goals as providers too, is to make sure that our patients can maintain for as long as possible.
Safely.
Yep.
Yeah. And that is some of those things that we ask when they come in. You know, how do you cook for yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, do you dress yourself? Do you drive independently? Right. And there's reasons that your provider will ask you those things that we're kind of gauging.
Safety.
Yep. Safety is a big one.
Very true. Okay, so let's talk some myths. This is your favorite part.
It is.
Okay, so there's a lot of myths out there about aging, and we've heard a lot of them. So we're going to use you to help set the record straight for our listeners here, Dr. Mabry.
I can do it.
All right, so one myth that you hear a lot, getting older always means poor health. True or false?
That is false. Getting older does not mean poor health. I actually, I know people in their 40s that feel stronger than they were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to do with your brain and how you perceive yourself and knowing your limitations that you didn't in your 20s. But getting older does not mean poor health. There's many people, you know, it is based on genetics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your grandparents lived in their 90s, healthy, there's a good likelihood that you probably will live mm-hmm. a long life too, but does not always mean poor health. No.
Good. So that is false.
That is false. That's a myth.
Okay. So here's our next one. Exercise is too risky for older adults. True or false?
Okay. Can we specify what kind of exercise is too risky? So, So some is not a good idea.
Some might be risky.
Some might be, you know, like we don't need to be skydiving.
Rollerblading.
Rollerblading or bungee jumping for the first time or rock climbing. We talked about that. Yeah. Those are probably, if you've not been doing that all your life, it is not a good time to start.
Probably not.
Past 50.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
I would, you know, but exercise, any exercise is a good idea, and mm-hmm. gentler exercises.
And know your limitations.
Know your limitations. And Dr. Lee talked about that. You know, don't go for high impact.
Yeah.
Don't be doing high impact aerobics. You know, don't go to the HIIT class at the community center. Yeah. Let's go to the Tai Chi class.
Yeah.
Let's go to maybe even chair yoga if you've never done yoga before. That's a great one at the community center that they do. If you want to start out, but no, it is not risky to exercise as you get older.
But maybe slow, mm-hmm. low impact, mm-hmm. slow start, mm-hmm. and then work your way up.
Absolutely. But now if you've been active all your life.
You can.
Yeah, right. You can jump right in.
Okay. All right, so the next one, memory loss is just a normal part of aging. What would you say to that?
I would say it's definitely false. I counsel patients about this a lot. They think it's normal to develop dementia and Alzheimer's as they get older, or for family members to do that. They think it's just a normal part of aging, and it is not.
Mm-hmm.
You should maintain your cognition, is what we call it, throughout life. It does not matter about your physical ability. Your mental ability should stay the same. So if you see a family member mm-hmm. who, and I'm not talking like simple, I forgot where I put my keys. I forgot where I left my cell phone. I do that all the time. I've been doing that all my life.
Yeah.
You know, that's a normal memory, short-term memory loss. But if you start noticing in your immediate family members or even friends that they're having difficulty remembering, you know, what they had for breakfast, that you guys talked about this same issue a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are longer term memory issues that they should remember.
Whether they took their meds or not.
Whether they took their medicines. You noticing that their medicine bottles are mm-hmm. full when you go to, you know, check on them, or they haven't taken them. Those are bigger issues with memory, and you should get that person seen by a provider and maybe get them and it's a simple mental test that we can do in the office. Takes like 5 minutes to do it, to just test memory. But that is not a normal part of aging.
Yeah.
So if you see that, I would say something.
And I think, too, sometimes people think it's normal because of the life expectancy is, you know,
longer
mm-hmm. now. I think it is more common to see. And I think where people see common and they think normal, they're not the same thing.
Oh, that's a good point.
So it's not normal.
No.
You may see that as people age just because we live longer
right.
now.
But you shouldn't see large gaps in memory.
Right.
Then they may need to be evaluated for either dementia or a type of dementia such as Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And get help because there are medicines out now that can halt that memory.
Slows it.
Mm-hmm, slows it down. So,
good point.
Yeah. So is it too late to make healthy changes, Dr. Lee? Is it too late for somebody? If somebody's listening and they're 55, 60 and they're saying, this sounds great, but it's too late for me. Is that true?
No, it's never too late.
Never too late.
Never too late. You can always make healthier changes in your life at any point in time. And small changes can make a big difference and a huge impact on your overall health. You know, you think of simple things like you start, you know, low impact activity, you start walking, you've lost some weight, it helps your blood pressure regulate, you know.
Blood sugar.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So lots of benefits. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're continuing our conversation about Healthy Aging Month, which is in September, and the importance of community support for older adults. So let's talk about some challenges, and then we'll talk about some resources. Here locally, nationally, but Dr. Mabry, what are some of the most common challenges that older adults face when it comes to staying active and healthy?
That's a good question. So most common challenges I hear from clients and patients has to do with they think it's going to cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're going to have to purchase, you know, go to the gym and get a membership or, you know.
Buy equipment.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't. You know, we talked about low impact. So low impact that you can do at home is walking. But I do encourage listeners to get a good pair of tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be the only big cost to starting. So you want to limit the impact on your knees and your hips and your feet. So if you have an old pair of tennis shoes that you normally walk around in, I would highly encourage you to purchase a new pair of tennis shoes, and they make them now for just walking, you know, and they're very cushy.
Yes.
Skechers is not too expensive, and they make a really great one. You don't have to
buy. Good support.
Lots of cush for your older joints. So it really doesn't cost a lot of money, and if you start out small, like we've said, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, enough to get your heart rate up. And when I say that, I'm talking about you couldn't carry a conversation like Dr. Lee and I are talking right now. I couldn't comfortably carry on a conversation without having to take a breath.
Yeah.
That's really all you need to get to. You do not have to get your heart rate up super high. And the other thing is, a challenge for people is to be motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And most people have a smartwatch now.
Yep.
Or they have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
On everybody's smartwatches, smartphones, whether it's an Android, Apple, I don't care. There is always a health app on there that will show you how many steps you've taken, how many times you've stood up.
Mm-hmm.
How many times you have moved during the day, because everybody seems to keep their phone or a smartwatch with them on their body, on their person. Now, that may be a cost up front, but that may also be something you already have.
Yeah.
And most everybody has a smartphone. And there's lots of good apps out there. So, you know, motivation.
Yep.
And if you need that motivation, sometimes a technology will come to your beer.
Either, or a friend.
Could be a friend or a foe. Yeah, it just depends. Sometimes I get mad at mine. And then walking, you know, just simple walking around your neighborhood. If you do not have a safe place to walk at, look around your neighborhood. Go to
parks.
City parks that we have here in the Upper Cumberland. Even going to local state parks. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think. Burgess Falls, those kind of places. They have really nice walking trails that are clean and So it, you don't have to join a gym. You don't have to go and be embarrassed in front of people. That's one challenge. Another one is that people just think it's going to hurt, which it might at first.
Yeah.
A little bit. It depends on how active you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're not used to it, but it does get better and you will have more energy out of it. So that's a challenge. And then the last thing I kind of think of is nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of clients come to us and say, you know, well, I can't afford to eat well, especially now with prices of food being so high.
It's
very expensive. But I encourage people to buy quality food versus quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes things are less expensive at the store. Packaged meats, packaged items that are in the frozen food, but they're really the quality is not there. So I encourage people to buy fresh fruits in season. I mean, right now, especially because it's going to air in September, we're getting towards the end of our gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be, you know, either have canned stuff maybe this summer if you can, or, you know, fresh green beans should still be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
If you have late corn, late, you know,
late tomatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always say eat what's in season. That's going to be the cheapest.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to be the healthiest for you. So it's really not too expensive to eat well. And I know most of the federal programs that provide people with assistance, they do encourage you to do whole grains, dairy, mm-hmm. Meats, and fruits and vegetables. And that's what you need to be eating.
Yeah, not your processed package.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really good tips for overcoming challenges because we do want to stay active and healthy. Yeah, I think pretty mm-hmm. much everyone you would ask, that would be their mm-hmm. goal as we age.
So, Dr. Lee, I know that you have, you know, helped out with getting people resources in your practice time, especially in Overton County where you practice in primary care. So what local or even national programs are most commonly available that you would tell people in the Upper Cumberland to access, to help support?
Well, I would say that we have a lot.
We do have a lot.
And a lot that people probably don't realize. So I'll try to hit on some of them and give you some references of where to go for these. But one very common is the Upper Cumberland Development District.
UCDD, is that
mm-hmm,
right?
The okay, UCDD, yeah. They have the Area Agency on Aging and Disability.
Oh, okay.
And so that is an excellent resource. It offers a wide range of supportive services. I mean, it can be meals, nutritious group lunches, you know, home delivered meals. They have lots of different opportunities there. They can provide transportation.
Mm, that's how I know most of it. You see those buses going around.
They're everywhere.
UCDD little buses transporting people.
All over the Upper Cumberland. Personal care. They offer caregiver support.
I didn't
know
that.
They offer legal help. Medicare counseling. So their SHIP program. So they offer help with signing up for Medicare program.
How do you spell SHIP?
S-H-I-P, Medicare Counseling Program.
Okay.
So very helpful when it's time to sign up for Medicare or make any changes. Mm-hmm. They offer fraud protection.
Oh.
Which is big nowadays. Public guardianship, dementia navigation. And then also their senior center. Activities.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously the UCDD, the aging, they're promoting independence, well-being for clients. Their website, they have a website, which
okay.
I would recommend listeners, if you have access to the internet or if you have it on your phone, it's ucdd.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
So if you want to go to that website, you click on departments. And then you go to the Area Agency on Aging and Disability. So all those things I mentioned, they have their own little tab, and you can look at all the resources. It's a lot of resources. That's what I don't think people realize.
I don't think I realized it either. I knew that it was the transportation, but I kind of...
I know that's what people think of, but
uh-huh.
then there's so many other things.
Yeah.
So the other thing, senior centers.
Okay.
So these are pretty much in each county in the Upper Cumberland region. And so they offer social, which we've talked a lot about social and the avoiding isolation, but social and wellness programs. They have fitness classes, movement classes. They do a lot of health education and screenings in their local communities. They talk about big topics like diabetes and healthy eating and stuff like that, healthy cooking. They do recreational and educational programs, so lots of card games, lots of bingo, your favorite, art, music, all kinds of things. So the senior centers in each county is a great resource.
How would they find out about those? Would they just ask, call like their...
Well, you can look on the UCDD.
Oh, it'll have all mm-hmm. those senior centers, too, within the Upper Cumberland.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All 14 counties. Mm-hmm.
So,
Okay.
If you need help finding that, look on the UCDD
website.org
website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Another one is the Senior Community Service Employment Program, and this is through the UCHRA.
Another great organization.
Mm-hmm. And so that is a program that's the Upper Cumberland Human Resource Agency, UCHRA. Mm-hmm. But it provides income-eligible unemployed individuals, 55 and over, with part-time training positions. So kind of getting them ready to work so they can get skills. You know, so anyone interested in you know, learning that, trying to get experience to work, you know, or trying to transition into that unsubsidized employment, they can contact UCHRA.
Mm-hmm.
They have an email, services@uchra.com, or you can call them.
Okay.
It's 931-528-1127. And you just ask to speak to the Senior Community Service Employment Program coordinator. So that's a great resource. But it helps build skills. You know, could lead to permanent jobs for people 55 and over. It's in Clay County, Cumberland County, Pickett County, so lots of Putnam White, part of the Upper Cumberland.
Okay.
And they have a website as well, so that's a great resource. So those are just a few, but those are big places to go to look at a lot of resources that's available in each of our counties.
Yeah, those are two biggies, UCDD and UCHRA.
Yes.
That I think of. And I'm glad you gave the website and you gave the phone number. So mm-hmm. for our listeners, if they need to go back and listen to that, if they're listening on a podcast. So,
yep. I didn't mention, but the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, so they have the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That is another great resource for listeners that, you know, has a whole healthy aging section, and they provide all kinds of resources. That's, you know, not only for people as they age, but people caring for people, whether it be providers or family members, community members. So that's a great resource for people. So U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion.
That's a mouthful.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Federal government has to have big, long names for everything.
Yes.
They do. All right. Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Yes. Thanks for joining us as we celebrate Healthy Aging Month. Yep.